The framework for the practice. After his enlightenment and having decided to teach, the Buddha said that he had rediscovered an ancient path in which he gave a complete set of instructions with clear directions called the Satipatthana Sutta, or the Discourse on the Four Establishments of Mindfulness. This text is a path map with detailed instruction on the four frames of reference, which can be viewed as a framework for the practice of sati, or mindfulness. The Buddha very clearly states the aims and outcome of this practice, allowing for no doubt or misinterpretation. In the preamble to the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha is reported to have said, quote, "Monks, this is the direct path for the purification of beings, for the surmounting of sorrow and lamentation, for the ending of suffering, for acquiring the true method for the realization of nirvana, by means of the four Satipatthanas." Before we go any further, the term Satipatthana needs to be understood as it is the core practice in Vipassana meditation. As a compound word, Satipatthana consists of two words, sati, which means presence, that is, presence of mind, or to remember, while upatthana, literally, placing near. I would prefer to leave the explanation at that, but we have to come to terms with the commonly used translation of sati as mindfulness. In that case, Satipatthana can best be understood as attending with mindfulness. Actually, it would be more correct to call this practice Satipatthana than Vipassana, as the actual practice is Satipatthana, while the outcome is Vipassana, that is, insight. But it seems now we have to go along with established usage, but then it is hard to be precise in explaining things. The framework of the practice consists of four areas of attention, focusing on, first, bodily phenomena, two, feelings and sensations, three, mind states and or the consciousness, and four, mind qualities or mental phenomena. For guidance, the Vipassana meditator needs to work from the text, and a way to get a handle on it is to see it as a framework for the practice. It is not expected that the beginner can work with the complete set of instruction in the text, although it is useful to have an overview of the instructions and directions given. The entry level is usually body contemplation, but mature practitioners may have an affinity for a particular Satipatthana or some combination of them. The particular approach in this retreat follows the lineage of the late Mahasi Sayadaw of Myanmar. The method is that of bare insight, whereby direct observation, one's own bodily and mental processes are seen with increased clarity in the insight knowledges as inconstancy, distress, and not self. The bare insight meditator begins by tuning into the air element, manifesting as vibration or movement in the abdomen in the sitting, and as movement in the steps taken in walking. This practice is taken from the four material elements meditation in the body contemplation section, and focuses primarily on the air element and is combined with clear knowing of daily activities. The other main sections of the Satipatthana Sutta, feelings, consciousness, and mental phenomena, are worked with as secondary objects as they occur. The two types of meditation. For clarity's sake, one needs to be familiar with the two types of meditation techniques. Serenity meditation, Samatha, which is based on fixing on a single object in order to attain one-pointedness, which induces a calm state of mind, and insight meditation, vipassana, which is an awareness practice where one experientially investigates one's own body-mind processes. These two types of meditation can be combined, or vipassana, as pure or bare insight, can be done by itself. The three types of concentration. As it is necessary for the meditator to know the two types of meditation and their outcomes, it is also useful to understand the three types of concentration in meditation. They are one-pointedness, which is a meditative absorption or jhana, access or threshold concentration, and momentary concentration. As one-pointedness or the jhana is largely confined to serenity meditation, it is enough here to explain the other two types of concentration found in the pure vipassana meditation approach. Momentary concentration, or kanaka samadhi. The bare vipassana meditator uses momentary concentration, which comes about through the noting of vipassana objects, that is, noting the various mental and physical phenomena that occurs in the mind and body as they arise. It is called kanaka, momentary, because it occurs only at the moment of noting, not on a fixed object, as in samatha meditation. As one is present with changing objects or phenomena that occurs in the mind and body from moment to moment. Access or threshold concentration. In vipassana, some degree of access or threshold concentration naturally arises with fluency in the practice, but it is not specifically induced in any way. Access and momentary concentration are more than sufficient for a vipassana practice, as most of the subjects in the Satipatthana Sutta lead only to access or momentary concentration. The exceptions are mindfulness of breathing and contemplation of the anatomical parts of the body. The other sections develop upachara samadhi, or threshold, and kanaka, momentary concentration. Generally, it is said that a person reaches upachara samadhi when the five hindrances are inhibited. Unfortunately, the conditions that exist in the modern world are not conducive to developing the jhanas. Yet in the latter stages of attainment, most commentators agree that jhana is necessary. However, with the pressures and stressful pace of life, most people can find little time for intensive meditation. The same can be said for the ordained Sangha as well, as they too can be caught up in administrative work and study. So we are following here the path of the dry or bare vipassana practitioner without jhana, whose knowledge is not from learning, reading, or listening to talks, but from one's own direct experience. By experientially knowing the characteristics of the mind and body with insight into their impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and insubstantiality, the meditator is freed by insight alone. Ways to work with mental impurities. It is helpful to make a model of the mind to explain the three practices of restraint, serenity, and mindfulness meditation as ways to work with the impurities of the mind. The three levels of the mind are dormant or latent, manifest and expressed. The dormant or latent level is where the impurities of the mind are stored or hidden. The manifest level occurs when this material arises to the surface of the mind or the conscious level of the mind as thought, while the expressed mode is where this material is expressed in words or actions. An analogy to explain how this works is that of a sleeping snake, which represents the dormant negative material, such as anger in the mind. When the snake is disturbed, it becomes agitated and thrashes about like angry thoughts in the mind. Then the snake strikes, as when one expresses the anger in words or actions. Thus, restraint, sila, is applied to inhibit the expression of the anger, as there is always some consequence from the expression of negative energy. But of course the anger is still active in the manifest level of mind. Here we can use a pacifying or concentration-based meditation such as loving-kindness to still and sweeten the mind. But this negative material still remains in the dormant or hidden level of the mind until insight meditation roots out the hidden mental impurities or defilements known as kilesas of greed, hatred and delusion. The process of purifying the mind. The 5-8-10 precepts, or the 227 rules of the monk, are undertaken by the meditator to restrain the mind and to develop morality. But precepts and rules by themselves do not purify the mind, especially as there is a tendency to ritualize them rather than actualizing them. While they can be helpful in restraining one's behavior, being conceptual, they are not experientially transforming of themselves. Concentration itself merely suppresses the mental impurities temporarily, as it works only on the manifest level of the mind. It does not clear the dormant or latent material of the mind, that is, the inherent tendencies of the mind. Vipassana meditation is the direct way to purify the mind of its latent tendencies. Deep Vipassana practice leads to the insight knowledges and ultimately to path and fruition attainment through experientially knowing the three universal characteristics of existence. This then, as the Buddha states, is the practice for the purification of the mind and for the liberation of beings. Psychotherapy before meditation, that is the question. In the Western meditation culture, there is an ongoing debate on whether one needs to do psychotherapy before meditation. This is because often meditators, especially Vipassana meditators, experience mental problems and difficulties as they meditate. Well, leaving aside whether a person comes to the practice with a pre-existing mental problem or not, from a Buddhist perspective, it is the kilesas, or mental impurities of greed, hatred and delusion, that meditators are essentially experiencing. These kilesas are not to be confused with clinical conditions such as psychosis, schizophrenia and the bipolar disorders. For most people, the negative emotions as well as the latent tendencies hidden in the mind, however strong and entrenched they may be, are workable in the long run through Vipassana meditation. Again, for most people, at least initially, it is an essential part of the Vipassana experience that one goes through the purification process that the Buddha referred to in the Satipatthana Sutta. One has to allow a ventilation of the deep mental accumulations as one meditates so that the dormant impurities of anger, lust and delusion, etc. are released, that is, cleansed. The attitude of the meditator, or the way he or she relates to the meditation experience, is critical in the practice, as it is vital that one allows any negative material to surface and not react or play back into it. In this way, a non-reactive awareness develops that allows for a natural purging and cleansing of the mind. Referring back to the text we have been following, the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha gave a specific time frame for attainment in this practice, from 7 years to 7 days. For a beginner, a 10-day retreat is hardly enough time to complete the practice. But by working sincerely during this retreat, you can establish the basis for an ongoing practice which potentially can lead to the ultimate liberation and the absolute peace of nirvana.